Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Paul Smith, and welcome to Legacy Works. I'm so excited about launching this platform. It's a media platform that Adriana and I have been working on for a while in terms of being able to approach our readers, our friends, people from all around the world to talk about spirituality, spiritual growth, well-being, law of attraction, universal laws. There are going to be quite a few different radio shows we're going to be doing. It's not just on the one metaphysical subject. It covers quite a few different subjects. So be sure to click follow, as we will give you notifications of the various shows as they come out, or keep following us on Facebook, where you'll be able to see the shows as they launch. I'm going to enter this first show with a little feel-good music, just to get us started and to get us into a good energy space. This is a song that has a great meaning for me when I was about 4 years old. So bear with me if you're not into classics, but have a listen to this, and we'll return just now to kick our show off.
Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear? Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be. The world would see a new Georgie
Welcome back, and I'd like to at this moment introduce my guest. I'm very excited about introducing her. She has an amazing energy, and we're going to be covering some pretty interesting topics. So welcome to the radio show, Abby Aguilera.
Thank you so much, Paul, for inviting me. It is a pleasure to be sharing this moment with you, and congratulations for your very first radio show on your new platform.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about it. We can get to cover so many different topics and debate them and speak about them. And, you know, on this show, we're not going to call in callers. I'd like to get used to the platform first. But at a later stage, we'll definitely be having callers that we'll be discussing things with and answering questions. Perhaps towards the end of the show, what we'll do is give out a number if there are any questions for either one of us. We can welcome them in and take a few calls. So to get this started, I've got a couple of questions for you. In your own words, how would you explain the law of attraction to you?
Well, to me, the law of attraction is the law of how we magnetize what we want into our lives as we are working for it. My mentor, Jack Canfield, he said, remember that the law of attraction, or the word attraction, includes the word action within it, right? So
right.
It is important that as we vibrationally magnetize the things that we want into our lives, as we become available to that, as we believe that we are worthy of it, we also take the action or take the steps towards achieving or attaining whatever it is that we want. But it is
right.
Definitely magnetizing, vibrationally speaking, and believing deep inside. It's not about pretending that we are something. It's about believing that we deserve it, doing the work to get there. But it's a core belief that it begins to change our vibration and by default attracts what we want into our lives.
I like the way you said that, because there's a big difference between belief and pretense. The vibration mm-hmm. between those two things. Law of attraction, what a lot of people don't know is law of attraction is very acute. So, you know, if you're pretending, it's going to serve you more of what you could pretend about. And if you're believing, it's going to serve you more about what your beliefs are. That's the vibrational difference for me.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is quite a big subject, and I think there needs to be a lot more understanding around this, and you and I have had a discussion before where it was mentioned, so I wanted to bring it in, is what does the word awakening mean to you?
To me, awakening, it really is reaching a different level in our lives. It's awakening from what we have been programmed to believe, whether it is because society programmed us like that, or, you know, however our family brought us up, or whatever it is, it's almost like that moment in our life where we have what we thought will make us happy, and all of a sudden we realize it's not it. I can say when I go back to the beginnings of my deepest awakening, I woke up in a marriage in which I was unhappy. Even though I should have been happy, I had everything people or society or my, you know, upbringing said will make me happy. I had the house with the white picket fence. I had the dog. I had the children. I had the husband. I had the title. And yet I was not fulfilled. There was something inside of me that said, there is more I can do. There is more I can be. And this is not it. So the first stage of awakening is coming up to that reality that what you have been told may not exactly be the truth, may not exactly be fulfilling, that we are more than just beings that are meant to reproduce, become consumers, and become working bees for the bigger companies. Like, there is a reason why we are here. There is a reason why we incarnated in this time and space, and we all have a mission. So, you know, to me, awakening has different levels of awakening. And as we continue to evolve or take that journey of awakening, we discover more. But it's definitely and certainly not necessarily the joyous journey, because we have to at some point make that choice of either staying where we are, even though we're not happy, or do whatever it takes to take ourselves to the life that we are meant to live.
Right. And also, I'm glad you actually said something about this, but it's not a single moment. I think, you know, at a stage, and this is just speaking for myself, but at a stage where you start asking the question, there must be more, mm-hmm. is perhaps the starting phase of truly awakening. But yet, once you've awoken, it's from one vantage point to the next, because you're evolving. And you just kind of awaken more and more as you go along. I think it's an infinite journey, and it's not necessarily a bed of roses, because, you know, some of the life changes that you make when you wake up and see things differently means you have to adjust who you were and become a whole new person. And that's a mm-hmm. process. And it, with any process, it takes time to get somewhere. So, you know, a lot of people have to sort of strap in when they've had that first epiphany of feeling like, wow, I'm no longer blind. But then strap in because it's a ride.
Exactly, and you know what it is?
What?
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, it is a ride. I just wanted to validate because it is true about what you said. It's that responsibility, it's the accountability, it's the realization, because we have to, during the awakening, we become hyper-conscious, hyper-aware. We start seeing things in a different way, and then we go to that place of like, oh, it is me who's made the choices that have led to me being here where I'm not supposed to be at or where I'm not happy. It's taking accountability and then making the decision to make different choices, even if those choices involve, like revolutionary changes in our lives, you know, complete transformation, stepping out of our comfort zone, facing our own fears. It's really, like you said, it's not a bed of roses. What it is true, though, is that it is going to take us to a life that is wholesome lived, and that it will be also joined by others who have also awakened, who are also in a similar path, or at the very least, it is going to be lived with authenticity, and there lives so many wonderful things.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And if I had to put that into different words, I'd say there's a very big difference between intellectualizing it and living it. The process between the two is, I know for myself, I mean, this has been a 10-year journey for me, and I'm still learning today. And, you know, I'm very, I spend a lot of time observing things. And, you know, for me, it's just more information, new information. Ah, now I see. And I have to make these adjustments continuously. Plus, we live in an evolving world where, you know, everything is changing. Before we got on the show, I said to you the last time I did the Blog Talk Radio was about 5 years ago. Technology has changed, and I was sort of having a little bit of stress at the beginning because I couldn't see the dashboard that I recognized from before because they've shifted it all around. But that's what life is. It's about learning new things and growing. And it's a wonderful thing because I believe that we're here to fulfill an intention. Before we get onto the intention side of things, there's a question I like to ask everybody. And it's interesting because you get a lot of different answers. But how would you define love?
Oof.
Yeah, the big one.
The big one. To me, love is the essence of who we are and or who we are meant to be. Is the most powerful vibration, energy, feeling. It is, to me, simply the root of everything. And if we were to make it the root of our lives, our intentions, communications, I can only imagine how much more powerful we will be. I just think that when we steer away from it is when things go south. But to me, love is everything. It's our connection to God, to ourselves. Like I said, it's like in essence, I believe we come with a consciousness that has intelligence, but it is deeply rooted in love.
I think that's a really good answer. When I started on my journey, I had two words in mind. Anyone who knows me and has been following my work for the last 10 years or so will know that I always say be love. And the complex thing about that was 10 years ago, what I was doing was questioning what is love. In other words, I'd mm-hmm. lived life, but didn't truly understand what be love means. And I had to learn all over again that it's connected to everything. And, you know, to be love is a wonderful thing because you question yourself all the time. You know, if you get into a difficult situation and you say to yourself, okay, in this situation, how can I be love? It redefines the situation for you. instead of reacting from a negative way, if there's a negative occurrence in front of you, you have to kind of like calm down, look at things a little bit differently and say, how can I do this with dignity and respect? How can I do this in a loving way? And mm-hmm. so there's a whole different approach to the word love for me.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, because when we talk about love, and that's why we are meant to love ourselves in order to be able to love others, love includes dignity, grace, respect, honoring. It's almost like a compilation of all goodness, and it has to first be applied to ourselves. It's like, if you love yourself, if I love myself, I need to honor myself to make choices that are going to be good for me. I cannot say I love myself and make choices that are not going to honor me, because then that will be against myself. You know what I mean? When we truly love, whether we love ourselves and we're choosing to love others, love the world, we make different choices, because love in and of itself will carry a higher vibration that will carry better decisions.
Absolutely. And in fact, the outcome changes. The moment you approach any situation from a loving point of view, in other words, using those principles of how do I deal with this with dignity and respect, changes the actual outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, in one of the fields that I work in, which is addiction, it's a volatile field. And yet every single time that I approach it with dignity and respect with the people that I'm dealing with, I actually deal with a calmer situation. In other words, it winds down automatically. I think deep down in the soul of each individual, the soul knows when a loving participant is around, when someone is giving them dignity and respect, and automatically feeds them an emotion that makes them feel calmer and more peaceful. So it really redefines outcomes.
100%. I couldn't agree more with you. When you are with people who are loving, sometimes people don't understand, because they're like, maybe am I bored? Like, what's happening? Because they're used to the shadow of love, where there is uncertainty, fear of losing the person, fear of this and that. When you are truly with somebody who loves you and accepts you, who is honoring you, there is no fear. There is just peace. There is a certainty that you are loved, that you are accepted. There's nothing to do. And sometimes that is confusing for those who have been with others who didn't know how to love them. And I feel like it's very important to mention this.
Right, right. And it's like what you were saying before about pretending. You can't mm-hmm. pretend to love, because you feel that straight away. That's I think what a lot of people miss, is there's that vibrational communication all the time. You know, we're not always aware of it because there's so much going on in our physical reality, but we intuitively pick up on it. And if it's pretended, we know immediately. Kids for me is a huge example of that, because they can tell the difference straight away, and that's
absolutely.
Just because they don't have so much of a contrast that they're looking at and thinking about. They're actually just reading a lot of vibration and saying, yeah, this is true, this is not. And it's cut and dried for them. So it's an interesting subject. You know, I love we could talk about the whole evening. But one of the other things I wanted to get onto, so that we can really try and assist readers and listeners, is how could someone best discover their meaning and purpose for living life? Because it comes at different times for different people. You know, you don't kind of get born and know what your meaning and purpose is. This is part of the journey. This is something you discover along the way. So from your point of view, how could someone best discover their meaning and purpose for living life?
Well, one big part of that is to follow what makes you come alive. The little things that you think about when you are not necessarily focused on something. Let's say you're driving or you're taking a shower, and all of a sudden there are these images that come through that get you excited. thing is society or how we're living, we're programmed to kind of follow a career path only, but many times we're on the wrong one. So how you find it is that you become quiet and you meditate or you take deep breaths in the morning and then you ask, what is my meaning? What is my purpose? Like if I were to look at my life and look at everything that I have lived as clues for that, like let's say, for example, somebody who became an addict and then overcame it and then all of a sudden is asking, what is my purpose or my meaning? I will say, look into that because perhaps you are meant to help people who need to overcome addiction. Perhaps you are meant to be a coach. Perhaps you are meant to guide others who are still in darkness. I believe that everything that we have lived has a reason. And when we look at it, not from a guilt or shame point of view or trying to tuck it into the past, but as a clue to meant, you know, kind of like meaning to take it somewhere. It's a clue of our destiny and also surrendering to whatever comes forward when we ask God. I asked personally, I remember I said, you know what, show me what I am here to do. Show me my purpose. Show me my mission. Many times people need to go through a journey of even a past life regression session in order to tap into that. But whether they achieve that through deep breathing, a meditation, just praying, or through a session, there are many ways to access it. But just becoming really neutral about whatever answer we receive, and it has to be positive. Usually it's positive, and it has to do with more than ourselves. It has to do with the whole.
Right. And you can't really get an answer to that question unless you personally ask it.
Exactly.
It's the moment that you start asking yourself that question. In other words, why am I here? What is my meaning? What is my purpose? And ironically enough, it's from the contrast that you grew up in that gives you the clues to why you're here. Because out of all that stuff that you lived through, even if it was traumatic from day one till the day that you awaken, you get to a place where you realize how to use that information. I mean, in my own personal situation with addiction, it was through the diverse nature of the physical life I lived as an addict with so many other different addicts and the lifestyle that I had that made me choose that that was one area in life that I wanted to focus on and do something meaningful, which gave my life purpose. And so, you know, I can't discount that now. In fact, I'm appreciative of it. So, you know, when people say to me, you know, my life has been terrible, I say things are going to be great because, you know, if your life was terrible, there's a good reason for that to have happened. Everything has a reason. Everything that I look back on has a reason.
I couldn't agree more, 100%. The same journey that we have walked on has little pebbles that are clues that we have left there for a reason. And if we were, I love this word reframing, like when we go back into our past to look at it, if we just reframe the meaning that we have given, we can find so many treasures. I have found that I'm able to help so many women for many different reasons that are connected directly into things that I have lived or intuitives or people remembering their past lives or healing through their past lives. And it's all connected. It's all interconnected. But when we look at our past from that point, everything changes. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And so what for you shifted you to looking at life from a different point of view?
I simply wanted to be happy, and I had to go through my own personal journey of being willing to accept that if the way I was living, the way I was being, the way I was carrying on with life was not fulfilling me and there was more for me to do, what shifted was that I became willing to do whatever it took, no matter how I was feeling, to meet that destiny, to meet the me that I was supposed to be. Whether sometimes I was doing it heartbroken, sometimes I was doing it in the middle of you know, divorce or financial struggle, I became so willing because I thought, if there's something more for me to be and it's going to make an impact and it's going to help others, I cannot not do it. So it was a matter of making that decision for me. That changed everything.
Right. And just to jump into kind of the work that you're doing at the moment, reincarnation, past life regression, can you tell me a little bit about being born awake and with memories of some of your past lives?
Sure. I was born with some memories that didn't belong to this lifetime. So as a child, that was confusing because on top of that, I was very intuitive. But being born and raised in Mexico at the time, and, you know, I was born in a dysfunctional family back then, and I noticed, by the way, that this is the case of many people that come here with a mission. Nobody was talking about what that meant. So for me, being born awake also gave me a little bit of a foot up front, but at the same time, confusion at the beginning, because from a different point of view and reflections from a different space at the same time where I was not having any kind of guidance. So
right.
It took a while for me to make sense out of everything, but once it kind of hit me, it also helped me and assisted me and continues to assist me in my journey, in my path, and helping those who are also awake, those who are intuitive, kind of make sense and give them shortcuts because it took me a longer time to figure it out.
Right. And I'm just going to put my own two cents here with regards to reincarnation, because it's a subject that a lot of people look at in terms of we're not sure about this. And from a metaphysic point of view, in terms of all my studies, in terms of the spiritual side of things, is that, you know, we come from an eternal field, which is a continuum. And in a lot of people's lives, there's a return to the same platform. And what I mean by that is, you know, you don't have just one life. It's a continuum, and you come back with different intentions all the time that add to the whole. It adds to the oneness, because if I look at oneness, it's about evolution. It's about expanding to become more all the time. In other words, adding unto all that is. And so leading up to that, one of the questions that I have for you here is, could you talk about the concept of oneness, how to transmute, reframe, give a different meaning to what has been lived?
Absolutely. Well, those are two different ones. But yes, I believe that when the more we evolve, the more we become conscious about our actions, conscious about our lives, and the more that we transcend into love, because actually when the more we become loving, the more we love and connect, the more we evolve, is a moment that we understand oneness, because we start seeing the connection that we have to each other, how our actions interconnect. There is no I, actually. It's more of a we, because we are connected even to Mother Nature. We're connected in so many different ways. And when we start seeing that connection, when we evolve from the I to the we, that's when we experience oneness. We realize that that's why we can feel other people. That's why the more we live consciously, the better for those even that touch our lives, and the more we are able to impact the lives of others. It's basically waking up to that level of awareness and consciousness where we realize it's not just about ourselves.
Right, and this is where we go back to awakening, because, you know, when you wake up, this is, again, my interpretation of it, but when we wake up, the veil is lifted. In other words, we were looking at life from a specific point of view, a personal point of view. And then we started including the idea of everything being connected. And so everything around you suddenly has more meaning. It has more purpose. And this is where you become delicate about how it is you interact with life. It's like what we were talking about before in terms of treating everything with love, dignity, and respect. As you start doing that, the outcomes change. So if you look at it really carefully, what is actually happening with the person who's awakening is they're now adjusting towards a meaningful life. And that doesn't mean that you get all the bliss that you want, but what it means is that you start living life from a more spiritual point of view. And this is what we talk about when we're talking about spiritual growth. Would you agree with that?
100%. And I am feeling guided to give a little bit of an example for those who are listening and the difference between one and the other. And for example, let's say that in this paradigm that we have been living for a while and that is in place at the moment, it's all about competition. It's all about being first. It's all about, somebody has to be the leader. Everybody else has to be followers. Marriage is a contract. It's about, staying married for as long as you can, even if you're no longer either happy or if you're not together for the right reasons. It's like getting married because you need to get married and that's what you're supposed to do. Reproducing because that's what you should do. I believe that when we start living from the heart, consciously and aware, we realize that, first of all, it's not about competition, but collaboration. Because if we continue to live in a world where we think we have to compete with everybody, it's going to continue being the way it is, and it's not going the right way anyway. So, and right. The only way to create a new way is by going a different way about it. And collaboration is huge. And collaborating from the heart means making sure it's fair for all of those involved. It's not about, let's collaborate, but let me make sure I am the only one that wins. And you don't.
Right.
Right. It has to be fair. Marriages have to exist not because people have to stay married because they've been married for a long time, because they have children, because their parents were married for 50 years and now they have to do it, or because society. A marriage or a union of two people have to be because the love is living within them, because they have a mission together, because together they are happier and more joyful than not together, because life is happier. You know, it's like it's a combination of different things and reasons and compatibility that have nothing to do with the rules that we have in place at the moment. You know, jobs is not doing something because you're just getting paid. You have to be passionate about it. There has to be a purpose behind it. It has to, you know, have some meaning for you. So it's start living differently, even though you're living a little bit outside the box. It's doing things, like you said earlier, more that are more fulfilling.
Right. And the key word that you used there is quality. So what advice would you give to listeners to creating a better quality of life for themselves?
To become really clear about what they really want. It's almost like, forget about what you have been doing. Forget about where you are. Sit down with yourself and write a list. If I were to be happy doing something, what will that be? When was the last time I was truly happy, and what was I doing or who I was with? Almost like sit down with yourself and get to know yourself all over again. If I were to have a partner, what will that partner be like? How will they honor me? How will they treat me? If I were to fully love myself, like fully and completely, how will I be with myself? What choices will I make? Like when you start writing all of those down, like if I were to have a relationship, what will that feel like? What will that look like? My health, my job, and you start writing all of those down. That is powerful, because not just are you becoming super clear about what you want, but it's giving you a map. And you'll be very surprised when you actually go back and read everything, because you'll read things that you didn't even remember writing that are so important for you to look at. And then you can compare it to where you are at the moment. And all it's going to give you is a map of where you're starting is where you are at right now. And what you just wrote is where you want to be at. So now you're just going to have to go on the journey one step at a time to take yourself to that life.
I love that, because one of the terms that I used a lot in my writing and trying to help people is to be deliberate. And to be deliberate means sit down with yourself, get quiet, and start making that list. Because the moment you start doing that, you're deliberately focusing on aspects of your life that you believe will take you to a more peaceful quality of life. In other words, you're not just looking at life by default and going along with whatever happens. You're being more deliberate about it, where you'll find your meaning and purpose if that's how you tuned into yourself. And this is where I think so many people go wrong, is that they look so much outside of themselves, but you have to go in first. You have to look at yourself and actually be okay with who you are. It's that self-worth from which everything emanates, because whoever's listening, life is about you, the listener. It's not about everything else that's going on. You get that to look at and make choices from, whether you like it or don't like it, but it's your personal preferences towards everything. So being deliberate about how it is you map out your life and how it is you intend for your life to be, that's when the journey starts. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I do want to add something that I didn't mention before, is also to look at the accolades that can join you in the journey, to look at accountability partners that you could have that are already doing what you want to do or that are a positive influence, to get rid of those who are not supporting your journey, or to lend very few ears or time to those who are negative. I have to say, I cut my their time slot in my life is very limited because when you're changing and you want to do something big, you're going to have to cut that time, because it's important for you to stay in a good state of mind. And also, I have to say, to ask for help. It's humbling, but it's true. I have at some point in my life, I have had reached out to either a coach when I needed it, and most recently even somebody who's become very important in my life who had, he lended me a hand when I needed it the most, and it taught me that it doesn't matter who we think we are or what we think we know, we still need a hand. We still need the support. And when we have the right support or the right people in our lives who are pushing us to be better, we become even better expressions and versions of ourselves. So it is very important to surround ourselves with those who support us, love us, and want to see us.
Right. No, I fully agree with you. I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, just do another musical interlude, just to give us a little bit of space, and then we're going to come back with some other questions, and I'm sure you've got a couple of questions yourself. So we'll join our listeners in a little while.
Yeah.
I pretend to pray.
Welcome back, Abby.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And just there was one last question that I had on the side that I wanted to speak to you about is, do you have a creative outlet of your own? In other words, what do you do creatively as something that you personally enjoy?
Music.
Music.
I love singing, and I also write music, and I figured out that I cannot do what I do or live my mission if I don't do what I love. I have to sing, and it's part of who I am, and it literally was like the one thing that made me come alive once more, to reconnect with my passion for singing, and I just couldn't tell you more how much I love it.
Right. I love music, and I know everyone probably thinks I'm into the classics and the oldies, but I'm not. I just specifically couldn't help myself with the California Dreaming song. You're on that side, and it's winter, and yeah, I'm feeling that joy of life, and I love the old stuff.
No, that's great. It's a very good song. I'm sure that the listeners know it for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. So any questions you got for me on your side?
Yes. You know what? I actually wanted to know about you and your journey through addiction, because I know that that's something that really pushed you to live the life that you're living. I'm even curious about you and Adriana, your beautiful wife, that you guys work together, how you guys came about. A little bit about your own journey. I'm very curious about your life and how it has impacted you, because I read how many millions of people you have helped, and that really motivated me in a way that I know people need to know about you.
Right. Well, it's a really long story, so I'm going to have to give you the short version of that. But I have been literally on the streets from the age of 13, and stepped into a life of addictions at a very early age, and kept that with me until 30. So obviously the story from 13 to 30 is an extensive story, from being from the streets to where I was later on at the age of 30. I don't want to go into too much detail on that. All I can say is that it was a very difficult journey, but it was one that I now have the privilege of having observed, because when I made the choice to sort of clean up my life and find meaning and purpose and woke up to the oneness that we live in, I found that I could lean on that experience, having been in the darkness, and lead a lot of people into the light. It's the easiest way for me to say this, because it was a vast story. There were so many different experiences that I was exposed to. To kind of put a little bit of depth on it, is most of the people from the age of 13 to 18 that I was around are no longer here. Most of them died. I was one of the few survivors of that time period with the people that I was around. So it just gives you an indication of how difficult that period was. However, in everything that we've spoken about, once you have an understanding about something from a very literal point of view, it gives you a certain amount of empathy when you're dealing with people who are now afflicted with addiction. So, you know, when I'm talking to an addict, they know that I understand what they're going through. I know what they're going through and how difficult the path is to recovery, and being able to resume life and rebuild. And I've just tried very hard through the years of focusing on that specific subject in how best to lead someone in a very short space of time to the life that they want, how to leave behind what you don't want and how to embrace what it is that you do want. And I formed a really strong methodology of leading people out of addiction. And you know, when I use the term addiction, we're not just talking about substance abuse. There are so many different addictions. There's for example, somebody who's addicted to drama. In other words, they need that drama in their life the whole, their whole time. And when you practice something, you neurologically wire your brain to that practiced behavior. And so one of the shortfalls of that is when you repeat a behavior time and time and time and time again, you hardwire your brain to it, but you're not looking at the rest of life. So you actually devolve, you don't evolve. And this is the problem with addiction, is a lot of people end up not knowing who they are. That they're not tapped into who they actually are because they've forgotten that they've spent too much time in isolation, practicing an addiction, feeding themselves with that compensating behavior to the point at which life becomes unmanageable. It's a very interesting subject to look at and speak about. But I would say quite safely, 80% of the world is afflicted by some addiction or another. So, you know, one of the reasons why I've got the community page on Facebook is the power of addiction is huge. There's one other thing that you said in that question, and I just want to kind of get to that, is that when you awaken, in other words, when I found my meaning and purpose, I hadn't really met Adriana yet and befriended her over the internet, where we worked together for a while. We did a couple of radio shows and a few other things together. And later on in life, it was about 5 years after working with her, I literally fell in love with her. And I couldn't ask for a better partner because the two of us have been through so much and seen so much that where we are now in life, we focused on how best can we follow our intentions and do what it is that we feel adds to this world. So, you know, for me, I've got a partner that I stand very tall next to, and it's just a wonderful collaboration. And the one thing that I want to put in there is you never know what's coming. I lived a loveless life, and I always thought, okay, well, I was the type of person that obviously wasn't going to have the loving relationship that I wanted. Yet, years and years later, I end up having a relationship where I couldn't compare it to anything else. In other words, it's so perfect. So, you know, you get what you're looking for, as long as you're looking for the right thing, as long as you are adding your value to the world and the universe will give you what it is that you deserve. And that's a wonderful thing. So I have a partner which I'm absolutely in love with.
That is beautiful. And I have seen the pictures that you guys have posted together, and they're so inspiring. That's why I wanted to touch on that subject, because I know some of the listeners are wondering where they are at the moment. And I know I have had in the past felt like, oh, you know, what if I'm not meant to, or what if it doesn't happen to me, just like you said. And it's just coming up ahead. It's just, it's a little bit on ahead on the road once we kind of realize what is it that we didn't want, and we get clear about what we do want, then we are more likely to find it, or it's likely to find us, right?
Yeah.
One thing I did want to say when you talked about addiction, you also said that sometimes people lose themselves completely, but I wanted to talk about another group, which I have seen, where they're not lost necessarily. They have accomplished many things in life, or they're super talented. I lost one of my friends who I dearly loved to drugs 3 years ago, and he was a genius. He was so amazingly gifted. And it hurt my feelings to see him leave this world because of the addiction being stronger at that time. And it was many things, you know. He had proposed to somebody. She ended up leaving him, marrying somebody else 3 months after that. And it was too much emotionally for him. He hadn't worked on his addiction. I think more than the addiction is working on the reason why we are addicted, like the root parts of it. And that's why I wanted to know and ask you, what do you think the root of addiction is? And we lost him. We lost Danny. And he was not lost. He really had something that he was giving to the world. But that part of himself took him down. And that's why I'm so inspired to share as well. And for you to kind of, you have reached the other side, so I would love for you to share. What do you think the root of addiction is? And for those who are listening right now, what would be the one thing, the first step that they could make or take that will, you know, take them sooner or faster or quicker to resolving an issue that they have with addiction?
Well, it's a really simple answer, but it's a difficult one to do. However, you can wrap your mind around it very quickly. So I'm going to give you the real short version of this. The root of addiction is compensating for the feelings that you have by trying to bring something from outside inside. So you reach outside of yourself to get feel-good moments, so that you can feel good in the moment. But that's what we call compensating. And why I say compensating is because you're compensating for the emotion. You're bringing something in. Now, addiction is a repeated behavior. So what happens with people is they get caught in a cycle where it's, okay, that felt good. I felt some peace and ease at that time, or I felt better than I felt before. And so as it wears off, let me repeat it. And as it wears off, let me repeat it. And because you do that, you fall into a cycle of repeating it. And while you're in that cycle of repeating it, and this happens over a long period of time, but while you're in that cycle, you forget to live life. So the way of moving away from that is not just about canceling out the addiction. It's not just about as simple as saying, okay, let me stop being an addict. Let me stop taking a substance. Let me stop looking at drama, whatever it is that you're addicted to. It's not about that only. That's just one part of the equation. The important part of the equation, the one that everybody wants to know, what do I do instead, is your brain doesn't have the information about where it is you're going to. It only has the information about what you've done. And so that's where the work comes in. It's, who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? What do I want to have? How do I want to feel? What would feel better? What are my preferences? What kind of people should I have around me? And because you know what you don't want, in other words, what didn't work, because in an addiction, everyone becomes powerless. So they know what didn't work. Compensating didn't work. Isolation didn't work. Drama didn't work. Being angry all the time didn't work. Escaping didn't work. And so they know what didn't work. So it becomes a little bit easier of, don't focus on those things. Focus on where you're going, what you want to be. And you've got to include that information to get it into the mind so that you can start obsessing over that stuff. And as you obsess over that stuff, you vibrate differently. Law of attraction starts bringing in what you're vibrating, and reality starts to shift for you. But one of the major problems, and I just want to put this in there, is a lot of people that leave addiction marry another kind of addiction, which is recovery, which means that they feel they need to be in a room talking about it constantly in life. In other words, they are constantly addicted to, well, I'm an addict and I'm recovering. And that seems to be a life sentence. It shouldn't be that way. It should actually be, I'm putting aside this compensating action, I'm focusing on my life, and I'm going to be deliberate about where I'm going to. So if you look at what I've said, it's using these universal laws. It's vibration. It's the law of attraction. It's all the good stuff to get to where
you're
going.
Thank you so much.
It's all about thinking, and thinking in the right way.
I am just so glad you said that, because one of the things, knowing how the brain works and how affirmations work, one of the issues that I had with the current plan or program that programs that are available, and I'm not going to say they haven't helped, because they have helped many people and they have great steps into that same program, is that they have to go on a podium and state over and over again that they are still addicted. And I just thought, how can that be positive? It's like you keep reaffirming and confirming over and over that you are an addict, that you are an alcoholic. So you saying that makes me really happy. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I study everything that I do. So I have a look at the world methodologies, and I just want to point this out. So I'm not saying that this is the stats for it. Is NAA program has roughly around the world 3-4% success rate. That means that there's a 76 failure rate. So there's something wrong with that system. And it does have a place. So I'm not knocking the NAA system. It does have a place, but I don't think it's a life sentence. In other words, you don't need to be in there forever. Maybe in the beginning stage when you need to acknowledge what's gone wrong in your life. But you have to move away from that at some stage. You know, most of the people that I've worked with that have been fixated on various different methodologies have walked away from it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks after working with me and starting to focus on their personal lives, and the quality improved. So it's really about just focusing in the right direction, and don't forget you. It's all about self. It's about self-growth, spiritual growth.
I absolutely love it. Thank you so much. This makes me really happy, because I think you are needed now more than ever in this field of helping those who have addictions, or to cope with the root of addiction. Like you said, it's just I have also seen people shifting from one addiction to another, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
If we just work on not drinking or not doing drugs or not something, we can shift into another one if we haven't looked at the reason why, if we haven't worked on the actual mechanism within ourselves that is making us binge on something. Because the truth is, I mean, I wouldn't say I don't drink or I don't, you know what I mean? Like, we all can have a glass of wine. I mean, I'm not going to say that's a great thing, but I have to admit that I enjoy it. I will be lying
right
publicly if I were to say that I don't. And for me, authenticity is key or very important. But I think when we realize, for me with food, and I want to say this, is that I realized that at some point in my life I had made a connection between love and food. So whenever I will eat, I will feel loved. It also comes with my culture, you know. My Hispanic culture is loving through food. So whenever I didn't feel love in my space, loved by my partner, or loved in general, I will go and love myself with food. I'm just going to say I love myself so much that I gain weight. And in order for me to work on my weight, I didn't have to work so much on my weight and as much as I worked on the understanding of what was making me eat more, the reason,
right,
and how, and finding ways to love myself that we're more efficient, that we're more high vibration, that we're more coming from self-love. It's like Abby. If I love Abby, I'm going to take Abby to the gym. If I love Abby, I'm going to show her love through self-care. I'm going to show her that she's beautiful, that she's lovable. So I'm saying this for all of those who are listening. There are, when we realize why we're doing something, we can find another way to go about it as well. And like I said, getting the help we need, reaching out to people like Paul, like me, like other coaches you could feel guided to, please do that. You don't have to do this yourself. Make sure you have the right accolades that are supporting, the right partner that is supporting you. Because remember, when you are with the right people, they're going to want to see you grow.
Yeah, 100%. And we got 5 seconds. I'm going to wrap this up really quick. Abby, thank you so much, and love you all.